Amen. Thank you, Miss Pam. Open your Bibles, please, if you would, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. I want to read one verse in introduction to the message today, and then continue the thought that we began last week about the God of Elijah. 2 Kings, chapter 2, in the Old Testament, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, if you can find it and know where it's at, if you need to use a table of contents in the front. Let's find 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. I'm not going to rehearse the story, even though I'll come back to it maybe in a later sermon. Elisha is following Elijah. Elijah was the great prophet of God that came out of nowhere to appear before King Ahab and tell him there's going to be a drought in the land. And marvelous used of God in other times in the writings of the Bible. But he's getting ready to go to heaven by a whirlwind. A chariot of fire is going to come down and a whirlwind is going to begin. And Elijah is going to be picked up and miraculously taken to heaven. How many believe that story? Amen. Well, you better believe it because it's in the book. Amen? Amen. And what's in the book? Thus saith the word of the Lord, and it's settled. I believe that Elisha stood there and saw Elijah transported up to glory. The chariot of fire came down, and the whirlwind come up and picked him up by the hair of the head, or however he did it. I don't know if he got him by the hair of the head or not. Picked him up and took him up to glory. I don't know how all that happened, but it happened. But Elisha wanted a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, and he would not leave him in their journeys as they went down toward the place where that was going to happen. And Elijah would test Elisha. And Elisha says, no, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. 50 prophets they had, called sons of the prophets, were looking on in various little towns they went to. They just viewed the situation from afar, the Bible says. I want to come back to that sermon in just a few days, the Lord willing. Those who view from afar. But Elisha went down and Elijah went up. And when Elijah went up, the mantle came down. And Elisha walked over and picked up the mantle. And I read to you verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 2. And he, that is Elisha, took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters, that's the Jordan River, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, just as Elijah had done recently, they parted thither and thither, and Elisha went over. I know where the God of Elijah is today. I'm not sure where the Elijahs of God are at. But I want to address the God of Elijah before I talk about the Elijah of God. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Say it together with me, please. Ready? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I give you a threefold thought as it relates to where he's at or who he is today, and then we'll come back to the God or the Elijah of God in another sermon. Father, thank you for the singing today. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God. Thank you for this good day that we've been able to live and to serve you. Now, Father, we need you today. And Lord, we've come through an exciting year this past, and with the pandemic and all that's transpired in that, events here and around the world. And Lord, I really believe that the pandemic was a judgment of God upon us as a world, especially America, Lord, who have turned their backs upon you just about completely in many circles of organizations and schools and government and so forth. And Lord, we continue to have a national holocaust of killing little babies. I believe you come to the place that you send things to awaken us and get our attention. And Lord, almost it seems like when things are past, we soon forget. And the Bible says, beware lest we forget God. And how many times it seems like you showed mercy to us. You let bring judgment and then you show mercy. You're waiting for us to repent. And Lord, we need a revival from heaven today. And we need to be able to understand who God is, as has been taught this morning in Sunday school about fearing the Lord. And Lord, may we apply it to our lives, and may you help us today to gain something that will help us throughout this day and the weeks to come as it relates to the God of Elijah, who is our God, because we've been saved by the grace of God. Speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. If you're used to taking notes, follow with me, please. Elijah's God is number one. He's a God that hides his people. I'll come back to that in just a moment. I spoke on it last week. Out beside of that, write the phrase, a place of safety. Number two, he is a God who provides for his people. And we'll look at that in just a moment. A place of sustaining out beside of it. He not only gives a place of safety, he gives a place that we can be sustained in times of our life. And then thirdly, he guides us. He guides us. And he shows us the way. That showing, you have the safety, you have the sustaining, and you have the showing. And all three are found in the life of Elijah and Elisha. And so I go back and review for just a moment on last week's sermon about Elijah's God is a God who hides his people. Don't ever forget that God loves you. And sometimes there's a necessity that you need to hide in the cleft of the rock. And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings, in chapter 17, turn back there with me, please, just a few verses back, a few chapters back, when Elijah says in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. God hides his people at times in their life. Not because he's afraid. God's not afraid. Not because that we always need to be hidden, but there's times we do need to be in a hiding place. Here's what the Bible says. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me. Psalms 27:5. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me. I'll be honest with you. There's just sometimes I'm just glad to be hidden in God and to have the protection of God, and I know his presence is there. How many of you have trouble in your life? Would you raise your hand? Raise them real high. Raise both hands if you've got troubles. Now, if you don't have any troubles, would you raise your hand? If you don't have any troubles, we want to give you some of ours, all right? Maybe you can share a few of ours. Now, you won't be trouble-free because the Bible says that man who is born of woman, how many of you have been born a woman?
Amen.
Amen. Now, stork didn't bring you. You were born of a woman. And the Bible says they that are born of a woman in a few days, and their life is full of trouble. Sparks fly upward, and they're full of trouble. It don't take you long to realize there's a lot of trouble that we encounter in this life. And God says in Psalms 27:5, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. I like that old song I mentioned last week, and they sung it. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where the rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. The Bible says in Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. The Bible says in Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, illustration. I'm in the hand of God. The Bible says that I'm hid in Jesus Christ. I'm in Jesus Christ, and he's in me. I'm in the hand of God. I want you to see where you're at today. Jesus Christ is in us, and we're in him, the Bible says. He dwells in us in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. But I'm in the hand of God, and that hand protects me. Now, listen very carefully. Nothing can touch you unless God allows it to be touched. You say, I got trouble. He's allowing it for a purpose. There's sometimes he just hides you real close because you went through a trial of your life. You went through a burden, went through a heartache. And sometimes God just seems more close than he's ever been before. But there's sometimes we've got to realize that troubles come to us for a reason. They always come for a reason. God loves his children. Sometimes he's trying to chasten us. Sometimes he's trying to comfort us so we can be a comforter to somebody else. Remember when God comforts you in the trial of your affliction, in the day when it seemed like the whole world fell on your shoulders, when the lights went out and it was dark, and you sense the comforting hand of God. There's nothing like the comforting hand of God. But why does he comfort us? There's been times in my life, many of my loved ones have already gone on to heaven. Brother Jim, I appreciate the testimony about your dear wife. Appreciate her enthusiasm while she was with us for a while, and thank God for her memory. But most of us have loved ones over there, and I've said this repeatedly. I probably have more loved ones over there than I got here now. I got more and more. All my grandparents are dead. I was named after my granddaddy on the Pauley side. His name was James. Beautiful name it is. And he's a skinny guy. If you ever saw my granddaddy, a picture of him, he's as skinny as a rail. I look just like him. But I was named after my grandpa, and he was the song leader at the Ironton, Ohio City Mission for many years, and I've shared this before. His wife was named Martha, named after a biblical character in the Bible. She suffered diabetes real bad and was an invalid for many, many years. But both of them were saints of God. They're in glory now. We were comforted in the passing of them. And then on my mother's side, my granddaddy is named C.S. Riggs. Charles Spurgeon, he's named after the great preacher, C.S. Riggs, and his wife's name was Ruth, another biblical name. And they too, we buried them, said farewell, and they're in heaven, and we were comforted. And then when my daddy, at age 57, 1974, breathed his last breath in this world and woke up in glory, and I kissed his brow for the last time before we went to the sermon, the funeral service, and I said, Dad, I love you. And Dad, thank you for being there for me. Thank you for helping me in my life. I didn't tell you enough, but I'm here to say, Dad, if you can hear me right now, I want you to know I love you. And we were comforted by the hand of God. And then a few years ago, my mother passed away. Eddie, my brother, passed away before then. And then my mother passed away at age 88, I think it was. And she died. And she went to heaven. Nothing more precious in all the world than a Christian mom. I'm grateful for my dad, but I knew that my mom prayed so much for us. I heard her pray for us. I've heard her prayers, and the comforting prayers of mom meant a lot. And it was a comfort when they buried her on that snowy day in West Virginia. They let a dove out, and it flew around and round and round. It was so cold, the dove didn't stay up too long. It got back in the box. But it was a cold day when we buried mother. But the hand of God was there to hide us in the cleft of the rock, because there's sometimes you just need comforting, and nobody, nobody can do it like God can. And he's close to me. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And I'm grateful to God today that I can be hid in Christ and Christ in God, and I'm right where I need to be. He's got the whole world in the palm of his hands. He's got the whole world. We sing that song. He's got you and me, brother. If you're saved, you're in his hands. We sing that little chorus. He's got the little bitty baby in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got all those that's been aborted too. Amen. In his hand. He's got the millions that's caused a national holocaust, as I've been in a prayer for America. I think God's about to reach his capacity of mercy as it relates to America. I believe it's like a dam that's being pushed back by the prayers of God's people, and thank God for Christian people. But this nation of ours is in a terrible, terrible mess. And it doesn't need Republicans, Democrats, or anybody else. It needs God. Because they will tear it down and make it the wrong way and live a life that's in debauchery, many of them, and then expect God to bless us. God's not going to bless us if we continue the route we're going. He's blessed us. Yes, he's blessed us, and he's always going to be blessing us to some degree. But as a nation, I'm afraid we're reaching a place of a point of no return unless God intervenes. And God's not going to intervene unless he hears the cry of his people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. O rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. When ways of doubt, I circle that and highlight it in orange in my notes. When ways of doubts around me roll, the sea is rough, that I'm a sail. And you know my bark is frail. And I circle that word frail. And I ask, and I circle the word ask. I ask the Lord to take control. And I circle the word control. O rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. When waves of doubt around me roll, the sea is rough, that I must sail. And you know my bark is frail. I ask thee, Lord, to take control. Lord, fill my heart with love divine. Help me. I circle that and highlight it in orange. Trust in storm or shine. And when I reach the Jordan's cold, rock of ages, keep my soul. Wow, that's a good song. I love it. And so the Bible teaches us that we are hid in God and in Christ Jesus, and we're under his protection, and he gives us a place of safety. And there's times like Elijah, he said, now you've done what I told you to do. You've appeared before King Ahab. Now I want you to go hide yourself by the brook Cherith. And I'm going to let you drink of the water of the brook. And I'm going to send the ravens to feed you. Now Elijah probably thought for just a moment, a raven is a dirty bird. A raven is a scavenger. A raven is not the most pleasant bird to be bringing food to you. I mean, what are they going to bring? Some carcass they pulled off the side of the road and bring me to eat it? I don't know what Elijah thought. He knew God would take care of him. But I don't know what, you know, Elijah was a man. That's what it says. With like passions, like as we are. And then God says, I'm going to send ravens to feed you. I said, Lord, could you send a dove? Do you have to send a raven? I'm going to talk about why God sent a raven in a future sermon. And what a tremendous thought it is. God said, you go hide yourself, Elijah. And Elijah got up, left King Ahab, and went down to the brook Cherith and hid himself for several years. And probably if you count up all the meals he got, somebody said it was 8,000 meals he was fed by the hand of God. For those 3.5 years they stayed there. If that's the case, I'm not sure if that's the case or not. But he hid himself. He hid himself. And God's protection was with him. How did he protect him? Gave him water to drink and food to eat. He was hid with God. And so I simply submit to you today, it's important to know that God hides his children. Along with that, he provides for them, as I just mentioned. A place is sustaining. Thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. 1 Kings 17:4. Psalm 78:19 says, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he? Can God provide something when there's nothing there? Can God provide for us in these days when sometimes we wonder what the next day may hold? Many times people go through their life, they have doubts about the future. And as you age, sometimes you wonder, is somebody going to take care of you? What's going to happen? Are you going to go into rest home? What's going to happen when you can't take care of yourself? I fell down again this week. I was telling some folks I fell down on vacation back a few months ago, and they called the rescue squad to come out and look at me, see if I was alive or dead, I guess. I didn't land on my head, so I did all right. But anyhow, I fell on vacation and then found out I was all sick and we had to come home, et cetera. But I fell. Then I fell this week. And I was telling some of the guys about it. I went to get 2 cakes on delivery from the Varsity House to be able to take to somebody. And I had both of those cakes in my hand. I could almost smell them. Man, right there in front of me. And I looking straight ahead. I walked out of the store, out of the restaurant, and stepped off of the curb and fell flat on my face. And the only cushion I had was 2 cakes. Thank God for the icing that was there on them things. I was stunned for a little while, and I couldn't hardly get up, and I was in the parking lot and laying there, you know, all my glory. Elbow was hurting. It was bleeding. My leg was bruised, and it was hurting, and I was already starting that pain. And they come out and help me get up and clean me up a little bit and give me 2 new cakes. Amen. Hallelujah for that. But I thought when I got through, and I'm honest about this, Lord, thank you. You say, did you thank God for getting hurt? No, I thank God for being there when I got hurt. I thank God my head didn't hit the bumper of the car or the concrete slab. You say, preacher, you believe God protects you even then? I believe God protects us all the time as we live for Him and serve Him, and the protected hand of God is upon us. I believe it's important to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that means protection, it means clothes, it means food. God will provide for you if you put Him first. Well, what if I don't provide? What if I don't put Him first? You're gambling. God loves people unsaved and saved. You know that, don't you? And it rains upon the just as well as the unjust. But I have a promise from God. I've told you about the man who came to our church for years. He just eased in. He never did join, never did come much. But when he eased in, I'd say, how you doing? He'd say, Matthew 6:33. That was his answer. Sort of like an angel in disguise to come by once in a while and remind you. You know what Matthew 6:33 says? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. And right preceding that verse, it talks about, you know, the food and the raiment and so forth that you may have. Well, you say, well, I get by. I do all right by myself without God. You're a fool. You're a fool. If you think you can handle your life without God, and we've said it thousands of times over these years, saved or unsaved, you can't bend over and untie your shoe or put your shoes on were it not for God's power helping you do that. I have my very being and live because of God. And I am alive today. And because I'm saved, God gives a promise. You say, what if you got killed? Falling on a cake. Falling out a door. Well, if I got killed, God still protected me. I'm in the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul says, I'm in a twixt between two. I have a desire to go, and I have a desire to stay. He said, I want to be helpful while I'm here, but it'd be far better that I go. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so you can't lose if you're on God's side. You're a winner any way it goes because of the promises of the Word of God. But He did say, while you're living, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Remember that guy fell off a cliff, and he was hanging on some roots of trees and just swinging back and forth, and down beneath was the crevice, and it was going to be sure death. And as he was swinging back and forth, those roots began to start breaking off. He'd get a better grip onto it, and he was hanging on. And he said, please, somebody help me. Somebody help me. Help me. Oh, God, help me. And an angel appeared. And the angel said, turn loose. And he was holding on for dear life. And the angel said, turn loose, and I'll catch you. Turn loose. And he says, anybody else up there? He wanted to hold on to this himself instead of trusting God. It's not easy sometimes to trust God, because all the fears and the doubts run rapid in our mind. And we think, I can't do this and I couldn't do that. I'm standing here today as a preacher at almost age 75 who have told you repeatedly, there's no way under heaven I could be doing what I'm doing now. Brother Willie said it the other night. I've watched him on RU for a number of years. He said, I can't imagine. There's no way I could get up and do what I'm doing now a few years ago, 10 years ago. But God saved him. And God's able to enable anybody. Remember that first song you ever sung? I think of Wanda. I've used her for illustration many times. Just a faithful lady in our church. She's the water girl. I start to say water boy. She's the water girl, along with her husband. He's the water boy. And if he can't do it, grandson steps in. All right? Thank God for the water that they bring the preacher when he's preaching, whoever it may be. I remember when she sung her first song publicly. I remember when she was nervous. I remember when I preached my first sermon publicly. It went for a total of 5 minutes. It was a long sermon for me. I preached my first sermon in 5 minutes and preached the first revival 15 minutes a night for 16 days. You say, preacher, why don't you go back to that? Oh, shut your mouth. But I remember standing and sitting many times in a pulpit platform, and they would say, now we're glad to have Brother Paulie with us today, and I know God's laid something on his heart, and he's going to be a blessing to us. And I said, Lord, I hope you do. I'm scared to death. I sometimes had to ease out before the preaching during the singing just to get my composure. I don't know if this is good before lunch, but I had to throw up. I was so nervous. You say, well, how in the world did God, he used me in spite of me. And I'm glad. There's one time I was preaching in Charmco, West Virginia, and I couldn't get no sermon. I couldn't know what I was going to say. And I opened up my Bible, and here's what it was. On this side, there's a blank page. So I went to the pulpit. I had no clue what I was going to say. And I said, folks, I don't have a message tonight unless God just gives me something right now. And I saw this blank page, and I titled my message, From Nothing to Everything. Amen. And for the next, are you listening? 30 minutes. I preached on From Nothing to Everything. When I got through, I had no clue how that happened, except God was able to take a weak, frail, doubtful young man and fill him with the Holy Ghost of God and help him to do what he needed to do. And the same God Elijah had is the same God you and I have. God will not leave you nor forsake you, but will go with you all the way to the end of the world. And I don't know about you, but I need him tonight or today. Need him more so than I ever had before in my life. And so it is, the seeking the first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, it's so important to realize how we do our duty. See, first things first. We want to have God's privilege to hide us when he needs to, and he can do that. And we want him to provide for us, and sometimes we don't even thank him for the meal we're about to eat. How many of you bowed your head and never said thank you for the food you're about to eat? I got convicted the other day about praying over food. Now, I know you can pray too long. I've been around preachers long enough and Christian people sometimes, and would you ask the blessing on the food? And they pray for every missionary in the world. And here you are starving to death, and you say, well, won't you just say amen, we'll eat, and thank God for the food. Then we got the place, we got too short. Lord, thank you for the food. Amen. And sometimes in my hustle and bustle, what I think is living, I take time to pray, and I breathe a word of prayer, and I know the longevity don't mean a whole lot, but I just sort of found myself in a rut. Because when people didn't have much, they were more thankful. And some of the old-timers used to have prayer at their house, and maybe a dad would stand or read a verse of Scripture and say, hey, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Let's thank God for the food that we're about to eat. And he'd go on, dear Lord, we thank you so much you provided today. And Lord, we know we're not worthy of that, and we know you're the bountiful supply, and we just want to bow our heads as a family and unite our hearts together and say, Lord, we sure are thankful. I think there's a danger in our lives to become so familiar with God that we take him for granted. That he's there, and one guy said what he does, he gets all of his groceries, lines them up on the counter, and prays over them one time. So that's the only blessing he has to ask. He don't have to pray for every meal. He just prays for all the food he eats or gets at the house. But I'm simply saying today it takes time to serve God, and he wants us to give our duty. In the book of Ecclesiastes 12:13, the Bible says the whole duty of man, are you listening, is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Amen. Matthew says it again through the lips of the Lord Jesus, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You read the Old Testament, and I may allude to it later, in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 14, as they were preparing to worship God as the duty required. You'll find that little phrase, as the duty required. You get to Ezra chapter 3, verse 4, and they were preparing to worship God, and it says, and prepare as the duty required. Those who had a duty and a responsibility were supposed to do it according to what God said for them to do. One single thing I hope you can take home this morning from this sermon is do your duty. God wants to provide, God wants to hide, and God wants to guide. But his provision is not in your ability nor my ability. And I believe you'll come farther in enjoying the blessings of God by doing your duty than you will any other way. You say, why? Because the Bible says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. One single thing, it's your duty. I was in the Boy Scouts for a while, and I was supposed to do my duty. You know, I'm prepared to do my duty, you know, unto God and other folks, try to help them on my honor, on my duty. This is my duty as a scout. I told Brother Keith I was in them 6 months. I went through some of the knots and tied, learned how to tie a few knots, and I was so smart I just graduated in 6 months from the Boy Scouts. Good program back in those days. So this word duty, think about it. Say it with me, please. Duty. Say it again. I want you to hold on to it. I want you to examine it. I want you to focus on it. I want you to apply it to your life. When the inconvenience comes and somebody calls on you to do something and you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it because you're watching your favorite ball game. You're doing something that you enjoy and somebody is interrupting your schedule. Let me tell you what happens sometimes in your life if you allow God. Sometimes he'll test you in the way that inconvenience comes to your life. I hear this a lot. People call me, they'll say these words. Preacher, I'm not bothering you, am I? I don't want to bother you. I know you're busy, etc. Now, I respond in several ways. No, you go right ahead. And then somebody calls and says, so-and-so died. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. So what am I supposed to do? Just roll over and forget it? No, I got to get you ask my wife, how many times during the night have I got up, got dressed, put on my clothes, got in my car, and went to the hospital, whether it was death or sickness? You say that inconvenience. Well, as a Christian, you're included. You're on duty. You're at the post of responsibility, and if somebody needs you, it ought not to feel like it's an inconvenience on you. It ought to be like Chick-fil-A and say, my pleasure, my pleasure. You say, why? Because what you serve unto God is recorded by God. And if you give a cup of water in my name, you'll not lose your reward. And I think it's important somewhere along the way that we do our duty as unto God and not forget that. You may at one time, and I'll close with this, you may at one time enjoyed serving God. Oh, God's going to take care of you. I'm sure he's going to supply the needs for you and me. And we're not perfect. I understand that. And God takes old sinners like us, been saved, and still helps us along the way. And I'm thankful for that. But I think you can put your teeth into a promise better when you're doing what God said do. And you can have more confidence. And you can realize you're doing your duty. Once you enjoyed serving the Lord, but now you don't. It's a drudgery. What used to be a delight, this message is for you because it's not there. You've hung your harps, Psalms 137, on the willow tree. They said, sing us a song. They were down in Babylon in captivity. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And the Bible says they hung their harps on the willow tree. What's that mean? You've lost your joy. See, the pandemic has really been tough on us. Been tough on the preacher, been tough on everybody. And every family's been affected by it. And somewhere along the way, if you're not really careful, you can lose your joy in the midst of a trial. Sometimes you can miss the reason you're here because it becomes inwardly more than it is outwardly, serving God. Once you had a burden for souls and passed out tracts. Could I ask you, when's the last time you passed out a tract? Well, somebody will tell them. Who's going to tell them? Whose responsibility is it? Well, it's not mine. Well, whose is it then? Does it not mean that all of us are to go into all the world and be a witness for Christ? Amen. Does it not mean that each of us, regardless of who we are and where we're at in our station of life, is to be a witness for Christ? This message is for you to do your whole duty once you enjoyed reading the Bible. And I've been around new converts all my life when they got saved. One of the first things, they want to get a good Bible. And then they say, preacher, where should I start reading at? And some of them just go ahead and start reading. And they like to go to Revelation, read the book of Revelation first, because it's a fascinating book. I tell them to go to St. John, who wrote the same book, and read it first, then read Revelation. Might be a good habit to get into. And I may try to give some encouragement of where to read and what to read. But I've seen folks literally devour their Bible in those early days of their Christian life. They could not get enough of it. Ere you left your room this morning, did you even take time to pray? You say, preacher, I just busy, busy, busy. Nobody's too busy to pray, not to pray. If you get too busy to pray, you're too busy. And even if you're running behind schedule, you can still pray and talk to God while you're going to where you're going, even behind schedule. And sometimes you may not be able to read a whole chapter, but you can read a verse. And sometimes you don't want to read a verse, you want to read whole chapters. Sometimes you just want to read a whole book. I like to take those short books like Philippians and read through it every once in a while. I love to read some of those epistles that are not too large. You can read the book of Jude, don't take long at all, just one page. I mean, there's only one chapter. I know all of y'all know that. Or the book of Philemon, just read it and you can digest it pretty quickly. You say, preacher, I don't have, but you got time to watch the television. Don't give me that stuff. Well, preacher, I'm tired. Everybody gets tired. Everybody. But I got things to do. Nothing greater than meeting God first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Here I am, Lord. I report for duty. Lord, whatever you want me to do today, guide my steps, for the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and I want to be good. And I can't be good without God, so God help me to be good. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So what you want me to do, where you want me to go, help me to be ready to go. If I need to go, go. When I need to go, just show me what I need to do. I don't always know. And sometimes I got to use my sanctified common sense. But I yielded myself to God, and I had decided this a long time ago. When the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Lord, help me to have the mind of Christ. And I've got to make a decision. And I don't have an immediate answer. I've got to make the very best answer, a very best decision I can as unto God. What if you make the wrong decision? I'm trusting God to make the right decision. And listen to me. Even if I make the wrong decision at a time of haste, I think God can take my life and still help me. He can take some broken strands and shreds, things that messed up in my life, and I tried to do it this way, and maybe I didn't take enough time to pray and seek the face of God, but I wanted to. I loved him, and I desired to please him, and sometimes I didn't know what the answer was. I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and the answer didn't seem to come, and then I had to make a decision. Use your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How did you get the mind of Christ? Through the pages of the Holy Word of a holy God. And the more you read it, you'll be surprised what God may do. Used to love going to church, didn't we? And now it's harder to go to church than it used to be. Why? What happened? I'm talking about not talking about the pandemic now. I'm talking about just life in general. When you first get saved, you just enjoy going to church. Well, church is boring. Well, Jesus went to church. He went to a cold temple, as his custom was. Yeah, but it's not enough life. What do you want? What kind of life are you talking about? You see, life, he says, I give eternal life, and then I give the abundant life, and that is putting God first in your life, no matter how you feel. Boy, I feel like serving God. Can you serve God when you don't feel like serving him? Do you feel like doing something for God when you don't want to do it? Or is it better still, I just live my life the way I want to, and I sort of let God know every once in a while I love him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Once we enjoyed serving the Lord, and we don't seem to enjoy it like we used to. We hung our harps on the willow trees, and our joy is gone. Once we had a love letter from home, this Bible, it used to almost make us tingle. Book divine, holy Bible. And how many times in recent days have I said the only book God ever wrote is right here? And if you ever kept a love letter from anybody because you appreciate the fact they loved you, this is a love letter from heaven and ought to be read with joy. And Lord, open my heart and help me to see. Remember when you used to pray and you don't pray anymore. Just remember that things just don't seem to be like they ought to be. Right here is where we're going to separate those who go on to spiritual maturity and those who backslide. I enjoy living for God. I enjoy going to church. I enjoy being around church people. And I hope you enjoy going to church and being around God's people. I hope you enjoy reading your Bible. But what if your Bible was taken away? What would you do? When they confiscated the Bibles years ago in Europe, they only found one. It was chained to a pulpit there for quite a while. Nobody had a Bible. If you hear one cry from missionaries, it's send Bibles. Send Bibles. because not everybody has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Bibles at their disposal. Remember when we had years ago that little video of these people getting a Bible and just kissing it and hugging it and waiting in line to get a Bible. And when they got it, they loved it and they cherished it. Remember when they used to take one page out of the Bible because they didn't have a whole Bible and pass it around to everybody until they could read it? Oh, preacher, that's over there. Listen to me carefully, I'm through. America is becoming a heathen nation. America has turned her back on God. America is in for the judgment of God. Yes, I know, as was said earlier, it gets worse and worse before the end of time. But God loves America. God loves this world. But he said, seek me. You want help? I got it for you. If you turn to me and turn from your wicked ways, you say, preacher, I'm not wicked. Well, then why don't you start doing what you're supposed to do? You say, well, I'm not. Well, yes, you're wicked, and so am I. I tell you a good word you ought to say, Lord, I'm evil. I'm evil. You say, well, I don't want to say that. Why? Because I'm not evil. Then when you don't obey God, what is that? It is as a sin of witchcraft. It's called rebellion. And if it's as a sin of witchcraft, it's evil. But I live my life like I want to. It's not a matter of what I want to do. But I enjoy going to church. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy listening to being taught. I enjoy being around God's people. And sometimes it's not everything we want it to be. And sometimes it may not be as exciting as the football game. I'm glad Carolina lost. I didn't get to see the game. Somebody told me they lost. Duke lost before they did. They had to be eliminated because of the COVID. Just bring it out, you know, about baseball analogy. You may not care a thing about it. But I love Carolina basketball. I hadn't watched a whole game, hadn't watched a whole football game in a long, long time. Matter of fact, most of those professional sports, I got sick and tired of watching them because of how they live their life and stump their finger at God and act like he doesn't matter. I'm just simply submitting you today, somewhere along the way, we've got to go on regardless of what this world does, regardless of what everybody else does. As for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord. So I close with this, as I said a moment ago. Where are you on your journey of life as it relates to your joy? Are you doing your duty? Am I doing my duty? The whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandment. Elijah was taken care of by God. He hid him, and he provided for him everything that he needed, including water and food. And then when the water brook dried up, he sent him to a widow of Zarephath who fed him. God led him along from the throne room of Ahab to the widow's house on the backside of the mountain. But Elijah was God's man. Amen. So may God help us to be God's servant and be Elijah for God. We know what God can do. How about us? Let's stand together, please, for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Thank you for your kind attention this morning. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get right back up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, it's not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. That should be our desire and our prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to read the Word of God about Elijah. And Lord, how you hid him when he needed to be hid in the cleft of the rock. And just a special time of being hid from King Ahab and Jezebel and all the enemies. And Lord, I think during that hiding process, it was another maturing process for Elijah. Elijah, who just appeared before the king of the nation, is now being fed by the ravens in the cleft of the rock down by the brook Cherith. And Lord, it was teaching him humility even more because he could have been lifted up in pride, because it was by his word that the rain or dew would not come. But Elijah had to learn what he had to learn by the brook. And Lord, in every situation of life, the brook dries up after a while, and God moves us to another level of serving him. And the Bible says, and Elijah got up and obeyed God. He obeyed God all the way down to the Jordan River, took his mantle and struck the river, and he and Elisha went across on dry land. He stood on the other side of the river, and the heavens opened, and the chariot of fire dispatched from glory, with no doubt angelic beings driving the chariot. The whirlwind picked up Elijah and took him to heaven, one of the two men that never died in the Word of God. Father, he was your servant. I'm just simply submitting to us today. We know where the God of Elijah is at. What should we be doing? Father, would you help us? Oh, God, help us. Forgive us if we've lost our zeal and our desire. Forgive us, Lord, if we get to the place where there's no joy. It's just a routine. It's something not enjoyable anymore. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Maybe some folks need to come today and just renew their joy one more time. Father, we love you and need you.